Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesday, May 12th, 2015, episode 45 of the Hockey Guys Podcast. Here's truly Hunter Crowther with my co-host Chris Shannon. Let's get right into it, man. We got a jam-packed show today. Scott Wheeler, the site manager of Pension Plan Puppets, will be joining us to talk a bit about the Stanley Cup playoffs, World Championships, anything else going on in the sport. Tab Bamford, a columnist for the fourth period, will come on. We'll talk about the Chicago Blackhawks and their play and their postseason success. But man, there's no time like the present. Let's get right into it. Habs, Lightning, Game 6 tonight. Lightning up 3-2 in the series, but it was looking like a sweep after our last episode. It was all but guaranteed that Montreal was out, but with a win tonight, Game 7 in Montreal. Chris, what are your thoughts?
They are back, baby. Yeah, it's a happy time to be a Habs fan right now, but I also know this is going to be one of the hardest games for Montreal to play this year. Tampa Bay is going to come out strong. They're going to come out with their best performance probably of the year. And Montreal has to be able to match that. And it's going to be one hell of a game because I don't know what's going to happen.
I'm really excited for it, too. And I think the thing I'm really excited for is this will be the true test for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Because if you can win tonight's game, you've taken the ultimate step in becoming one of the elite teams of the Eastern Conference. We know that they're already one of the highest scoring teams in the National Hockey League. We know that they're able to compile points in the regular season. But if you can win tonight and step on the throats of a Montreal Canadiens squad that was all but guaranteed the Stanley Cup Finals last year if Carey Price wasn't hurt, if you can take this game tonight and not allow it to go back to Montreal, then you're making a statement and you're setting the tone for a very interesting Eastern Conference Final between either the Rangers or the Capitals, which we'll get to later. But I'm really excited for tonight's game. And the thing I'm really excited for as well is to see this Montreal Canadiens lineup that, if you've watched the last few games, Max Pacioretty looks rejuvenated. Like, he looks like he's into the game as much as he has been in his entire career. These last three games, he's been every scrum. He's been getting in everybody's face. He's been setting the tone. And I want to see how they come out tonight because you saw last game, Devontae Smith-Pelly and Parenteau got the goals. They need more from their forwards, and I don't know, man. I'm just really excited for tonight's game.
Yeah, they're going to need those guys like Parenteau and Smith-Pelly you mentioned to step up and do what they did last game. I mean, that was the best game Devontae Smith-Pelly's played with this Blue, Blanc, and Rouge. I mean, he really just dominated that game with his style of play. And the reason they brought him in was to be a playoff machine, which he hasn't done really this year. So it was nice to see him get that confidence level because it looks like he's a player that needs confidence. And he got that, and he was just hitting everything that was in sight. So for sure, that was a nice boost for the Canadiens. But I don't doubt that this guy won't be on his game, but Carey Price is going to have to be on his game. The Montreal Canadiens need that number one goalie to be ready, and he will be, hopefully. And P.K. Subban, you know, the first three games, he didn't have a great series. You know, a lot of people were saying, oh, my God, like, why did the Montreal Canadiens sign this long deal? And I don't understand why people still argue about that. It's the same thing with Price and Halak. I mean, there's still those crazy guys in Montreal that think they should have chosen Halak. But, yeah, I think PK, he's been a huge part of these last two comebacks, the series of the comebacks, because he has generated so many chances. He's made everyone around him better, and he's been different on the power play, which has been the biggest issue in Montreal. I mean, the power play consistent the whole year of sucking, and PK Subban, really, it looked like he just took it under his wings, and he just changed it all up the last two games because it's not him taking those shots as much anymore. He's playing more down south and near the boards, and that's when he'll get that better chances, maybe less chances, but there are more chances. And that was a problem. The Tampa Bay Lightning and even the Ottawa Senators on the power play, they're just sitting. They're camping out right next to PK Subban because they knew what Montreal's go-to move was. So it's starting to change, and that is a huge part of this power play, this Montreal Canadiens team, because as we all know, this is not a 5-on-5 scoring machine. So they need that power play to work.
They really do. And another thing that they can take advantage of tonight, one storyline that came out of Tampa last night was Ryan Callahan had an emergency appendectomy. He's only had 3 assists this postseason, so you might have to question where they're coming from. But were there reports? I didn't see today. Is Jonathan Drouin playing tonight or not?
He's not, and it's
he's
like
not
the craziest
playing.
thing. Marsh Assault is taking his place. I can't really pronounce his name, but he played against Montreal this year. He's a Quebec boy, and so he's supposed to come in and I guess bring some energy in. But yeah, Drouin's not going to be in. So really, Morrow and Marsh Assault will be taking his position. So and that there's a lot of heat going to John Cooper, who's one of my favorite coaches, but he's getting a lot of heat from the fan base right now. So we'll see if he's the smartest coach in the NHL or if he will get all this heat for not playing him.
Yeah, exactly. I love that about professional sports is that the opinion of a coach can completely do a 180 just based off of the 60-minute performance, just off of, you know, a guy bringing it or not. It can completely change everyone's opinion. Yeah, it'll be an interesting game. I want to see how Ben Bishop does for Tampa Bay as well. Even with the loss of Callahan, who hasn't been that productive, it's still someone who did provide a lot of other things like body checking, defensive play, although you would hope for more from a guy from him. But I don't know. If Montreal can win this game and they take it back home for Game 7, I don't know how Tampa Bay is going to respond after that. But at the same time, it, like, I felt like I was in the camp that after they were down 3-0, I was, oh, they're going to lose. This is it. Montreal's season is done. And just on a dime now, it just seems like teams in the National Hockey League, a 3-0 deficit isn't even anything anymore. Like, how many times in the last few years have we seen Philly over Boston and L.A. over San Jose? And if Montreal can pull this off and them over Tampa, we're seeing a trend now where 3-0 is nothing. You can come back easily.
Yeah.
You can somehow just generate enough momentum and you can rely on timely goaltending, and you can just have some ridiculous PDO streak where you're unstoppable. And who knows, especially when you have arguably the best goaltender on the planet, you have one of the best defensemen on the planet, you have a Max Pacioretty that looks more engaged, you have Galchenyuk and Gallagher and a lineup that hasn't been 100% in terms of production and maybe health-wise as well. But if they can all make it click in these next two games, then we're going to see the comeback of the ages.
And that is, I like your point that, like, it's been the last 5 years, there's been three teams that have done it. Was it Boston, L.A., and maybe even Montreal now? So it was two teams in the last 3 years. But I think there's been 5 to 6 teams all in the whole history of the NHL to ever do that. So that's not just a fluke. This is happening. It's becoming a thing. It's just talking about the parity in the NHL, which we hear every day. I mean, that is what surrounds the NHL right now. But why this playoff series was so fun, why the ending to the NHL playoff series was so fun, is because the parity is unbelievable. And I think next year, we're talking about parity now, I think next year it's going to be even more crazy. I mean, the teams like Columbus, Edmonton, Florida, these teams are going to be 10 times better than they were this year, and they're going to be playoff stature teams. So who's going to be out? I mean, is Pittsburgh going to be out? Boston's going to be out? Detroit may be out? I mean, these are big teams that have been in the NHL or been in the playoff race for the last 3 years, and they may be out with this new renegade of new hockey.
As we're about to have Scott Wheeler on. Last prediction, Chris, who do you think is going to win tonight? Do you think your Habs are going to pull through, or do you think the Lightning are going to take that next step?
Well, I want to go with my heart, but I also, you know, I want to be realistic. And I think this is going to be a hard matchup. You know, I have a trouble predicting this one.
Quit the answer.
But
What's the answer? What's the answer?
I know. I'll go Montreal. I got to go with my team.
Aw, that's so adorable.
Yeah.
Nah, Tampa's going to win. Anyway, joining us on the line right now is a man who is the site manager for Pension Plan Puppets. He writes for McCain's Hockey. And he goes to Carleton for journalism, the program that I got declined from. It's Scott Wheeler. Scott, how's it going, man?
How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Scott, you recently were named the site manager of the Triple P Husband so far. How have you enjoyed working for one of the biggest names in the hockey blogosphere?
Oh, it's been a pretty big transition, but it's been good so far. I'm just midway through my second month here, I guess, managing the site, and big things to come. But with the Leafs on the outs of the playoffs, it's been pretty quiet. We'll see what happens once July 1st rolls around and things really start getting going with the free agency and the draft and all that. So,
Now, my first question, and I'm going to get it out of the way because I'm going to get it out of the way because we've got a lot to talk about. We'll talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs, the World Championships, what's going on in junior hockey right now. But I got to ask about the Leafs coaching situation. It seems like this has been one of the most fascinating coaching free agencies in the summer. And you've got Babcock, McClellan, Bylsma. Some people have thrown Dallas Eakin's names out there. There's a lot of options. In terms of the Leafs' perspective, when it comes to luring Babcock or any other big-name coach, what kind of position do you actually think the Leafs are in terms of getting someone?
As far as Babcock goes, I think he's going to go to one of two types of teams. He's going to go to a contender where he can have a chance to win a Stanley Cup, or he's going to go to a team that's well along their rebuild. The Leafs don't seem to fall into either of those categories, really, at this point. The Leafs, compared to a Buffalo Sabres, where they're likely going to get Eichel, or in Edmonton Oilers, where they're likely going to get Connor McDavid, they're not as further along their rebuild. So it's going to be tough. The Leafs certainly have the budget to make things happen, but I can't imagine Babcock chooses the Leafs unless he really wants to give himself a challenge.
Scott, do you think the Leafs will be keeping Phil Kessel and Dion Phaneuf? I've been asking a lot of Leafs guys that on this show because I think that's going to be really the true testament of is this team going to be rebuilding or are they going to just stay the course?
I don't think they should trade Phil Kessel, but I think they likely will. At Phil Kessel's contract, $8 million a year, he's putting up equal to or slightly below points of guys like Patrick Kane, for example, who's making $10.5 million. And as we move along here and the salary cap rises, you're not going to be able to find point-per-game players for $8 million. But the Leafs are in an interesting predicament, and they may have to scorch earth, as the column earlier this year alluded to. So Phil Kessel may be that guy who can bring in a top prospect and a first-round pick. So maybe that's the route they go. But I doubt that it's the right move down the line. We'll see, I guess.
Scott, the one series that's set in stone now is the Anaheim Ducks and the Chicago Blackhawks. They'll be the Western Conference matchup, and regardless of who comes out of the East, I'm sure we'll have a good conference final as well. Who are some of the players that have stood out to you so far this spring, or a team that maybe has come out of nowhere and has impressed you with their play?
Well, that team was the New York Islanders. The Islanders were – I was a huge fan of the way the Islanders played. Halak was obviously – a pretty big question mark, but when the playoffs started, several teams had question marks in goal. Anaheim did, St. Louis did, and I was pretty surprised to see Washington take the Islanders, but that should have been a good series regardless. As far as the Blackhawks and Ducks go, that should be an excellent series. Everybody sort of doubted whether the Blackhawks were going to have what it takes and whether they were finally getting over that hump and starting to decline, but they've been arguably the best team in the playoffs so far, and Patrick Kane's playing the best hockey of his career, so that should be a good series. But heading into the playoffs, the Islanders were definitely the biggest surprise for me this year.
Oh, I think we lost Chris. Oh, that's unfortunate. Scott, all right, I'll continue then. One of the things I've noticed, you've been covering the World Championships so far, and I always feel bad for the World Championships because it's such a big deal in Europe, but unfortunately the Stanley Cup playoffs takes most people's attention in North America. But one of the big storylines coming out of it so far has been Jack Eichel, and he's looked unbelievable for the United States. Just talk about what you've seen about from him and maybe other storylines that have popped out of the World Championships so far.
Jack's obviously an unbelievable story. Just the fact that he's playing a prominent role and that he's centering that third line and doing a good job at it has been pretty incredible. And obviously today he scored a big overtime winner to solidify the first place in the division for the United States. He's been dominant at times even. And this is for a kid who hasn't even been drafted yet. And you can see it in the goal today. If you've seen the goal today, he curls off the sidewall and fires it far side. Not many people can score from the top of the circle with a wrist shot like that. So it was a pretty good goal, and he's been unbelievable. Beyond that, there's been some pretty surprising storylines. Belarus qualified for the quarterfinals. They are going to meet Canada in the quarterfinals, but they weren't a team that was tabbed to advance. Many heading into the tournament probably would have pegged Slovakia to be the favorite for that fourth spot in Group B. But that's probably the biggest surprise so far. If you look at Group A, you've got Canada, Sweden, the Czech Republic, and Switzerland, so there's no big surprises there. But Belarus is obviously going to be in tough against Canada and probably doesn't stand much of a chance. But that's probably the best story of the tournament so far.
I think we're joined back by Chris. Chris, where'd you go?
Ah, my stupid Skype man. There's amazing technology, but we gotta work with the Skype thing because it is frustrating the hell out of me the last couple of days. But Scott,
thanks,
I mean,
Obama.
Yeah, everyone's Zoom, right? Yeah. So Scott, I'm a huge Habs fan, and I'm a little scared tonight. You know, it's a lot of tensions rising up. It's been a very stressful night. What's your opinion on the Habs Bolt series, and what do you expect to happen?
Well, it's certainly shaping up to be an ideal finish to the series one way or another. I think if Tampa wins tonight, you can't ask for much better of a game seven with them heading back home from Montreal. Or if Montreal wins, rather. But, yeah, it's been an unbelievable series. I think the series could have gone the other way. They were outplayed, and Tyler Johnson scored that big goal in game three to give them the 3-0 series lead. But if Montreal had have pulled that out, it would have been a different story here. So hopefully we can, at least for the fans that are indifferent in the matter, we can see a game seven out of it and they can prolong it, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, Scott, I was at that game three and it was an absolute killer. Me and my brother and I went to that Tampa Bay game, and let's just say we got a lot of hate from the Tampa fans. And when that goal went in, we just kind of ran out there. It was a heartbreaker that game.
Yeah, they played well. Montreal was the better team that night. Wasn't even close. But that's happened. That's playoff hockey for you.
Yeah.
Oh, without a doubt. Scott, last question for me, and we thank you for coming on. Scott Wheeler, the site manager at Pension Plan Puppets. And Chris, if you want to ask another one, go right ahead. I've noticed that you've written about topics like domestic abuse and sexism, and I really admire the fact that you've been able to talk about topics that are usually, something that a lot of people struggle bringing up in conversation. What's inspired you to write about these sort of things and make it an issue that still doesn't get enough attention today?
Well, I think it's just a matter of seeing some of the abuse that women take, or whether it's heads all the way up to the commissioner of the NHL, right? So the abuse that some of the reporters take on social media. And since I've joined Pension Plan Puppets, we've got 5 women on our staff. So I think it's important that not only I write about it, but that we give these 5 women a platform to voice their opinions and talk about some of the experiences that they've had. One of our writers has been abused several times and has written about the abuse that she suffered on other SB Nation blogs, whether it be commenters. We all know commenters can get a little bit out of hand on some of our websites, but I just think it's important that women have their voice and that we understand that there's little things that the average guy may not care for, but the women in the game do, and it's important that we don't pressure them, if you will, and make them feel like they can't voice their opinions on matters, whether it be something as simple as a Katy Perry chant at a playoff game or as serious as domestic abuse with Sean Burke, who's now being considered for a role with the Leafs. So I think all of those topics are important, and domestic violence and the pressure and abuse that some of the women in the community take is important to talk about, and something that not a lot of people are well educated on.
That's a great point, Scott, and we thank you for coming on today, and enjoy the games tonight.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Enjoy the game.
That is Scott Wheeler, the site manager for Pension Plan Puppets, and we thank him for coming on. You can follow Scott on Twitter at Scott C. Wheeler. He also writes for McKean Talkie, and really bright guy. Hopefully we'll have him on later on. Joining us on the line right now is a man who writes for the Fourth Period. His name is Tab Bamford. Tab, how's it going, man?
Hey, we're getting there. It feels like it's been forever since the Hawks are on the ice, but enjoying the Eastern Conference action at this point.
First thing I'm going to ask you is, man, the Blackhawks are just so fun to watch. I truly am jealous that you get to watch this team every single night. You get to watch talents like Patrick Kane, Duncan Keith, Andrew Seabrook, or Brent Seabrook, and Jonathan Toews. My goodness, like you truly are a spoiled hockey fan. What were your thoughts on the first two rounds of the Stanley Cup playoffs and how the Blackhawks faced against Nashville Predators and just recently the Minnesota Wild?
I think first of all, it's my hope is that Chicago fans wouldn't take for granted how blessed we are to watch that collection of talent, because it wasn't a full decade ago that the Blackhawks and their fans were looking at a team that would make the current day Edmonton Oilers and Toronto Maple Leafs look like all-star squads. So let's not forget the days when Martin Havlat and Nikolai Habibulin were huge off-season wins in the city of Chicago. But, you know, you're absolutely right. The talent level has certainly spiked. I think in that first series against Nashville, you saw a team that was trying to figure itself out a little bit. Patrick Kane obviously left the lineup for some time with a clavicle injury that led to, you know, an injection of Antoine Vermette, who never really settled in. In that last few weeks of the regular season, he struggled to find a role and struggled to produce on a number of different lines and in different spots, even playing a lot of wing. So you had Vermette going back to center eventually after sitting the first two games as a healthy scratch. You had Teuvo Teravainen, the highly touted young prospect, coming into the mix and finding a spot for him. And then you had Patrick Kane returning from the clavicle issue and bringing him back. So you had a lot of moving pieces early in that series. I felt like as the series came to a close, they were starting to figure some things out. But then as they got on the ice against Minnesota, they found four lines that, for the most part, worked. They bumped Brian Bickell up from a third or fourth line role up to skating with Brad Richards and Patrick Kane. And all of a sudden, you've got a third line that's got Patrick Sharp and Teuvo Teravainen with Antoine Vermette, which you look around the NHL, you know, that could be a first or second line on probably 20 teams. So the depth is there. They're rolling the four lines comfortably. And I think it was just too much, too fast, and too deep for Minnesota. And if you look at the Corsi numbers in the three regular season matchups against Anaheim, the Hawks did that to the Ducks during the regular season as well. So it'll be interesting to see what the teams do to each other. I think the loss of Michael Rosenbaum presents a totally different issue for the Blackhawks moving forward. But I think overall the first two rounds you saw a team that spent a few games against Nashville getting their act together and finding some roles, and they absolutely rolled through Minnesota.
Hey, Tab. Chris here. So every hockey fan is excited for this series. I mean, this is the go-to series. We're very excited. People are saying whoever wins this series will win the Cup. What type of series do you think the Chicago Blackhawks versus Anaheim Ducks will be? Do you think it'll be fast-paced? Do you think it'll be hard-hitting? Or, you know, the Chicago Blackhawks are known for being able to play any type of way, any type of hockey.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting to see if Anaheim feels like they need to change anything about what they've done to be successful the entire regular season and into the playoffs to match the speed that the Blackhawks bring to the table, or if they try and play that physical game that I think was pretty successful for them against the Calgary Flames. As you said, the Hawks have been through the physical stuff. Minnesota certainly didn't pull any punches. They got their money's worth during play and after the whistle against the Hawks, and it didn't work. We saw Detroit a couple years ago really frustrate Jonathan Toews, and the Hawks got through that series. And certainly the LA Kings gave them fit physically, and they matched up pretty well. I think you'll see something very similar to what you saw the last couple years in the Western Conference Final when you had the LA Kings and Blackhawks playing. I think it'll be physical. I think both teams will, have their gloves on, strapped extra tight, and they'll be ready to go physically. But again, I think it comes back to how will Anaheim match the top to bottom speed of the Blackhawks, and how will the Blackhawks penalty kill, which has left a lot to be desired in these playoffs, match up with a streaking Anaheim power play. So I think the speed and depth of the Blackhawks is one thing for them, and I think for Anaheim, if they can creep into the Hawks' head and get a guy like an Andrew Shaw, you know, to take a dumb penalty, which he's been very happy to do throughout his career, if they can get on, you know, a power play and get the advantage, how will the Blackhawks respond to a hot power play when they've struggled defensively being shorthanded?
I'm really excited to see Jonathan Toews versus Ryan Kesler. Ducks coach Bruce Boudreau said that that's the likely matchup, and it's really been fascinating to watch Kesler this year in Anaheim. I think he's really grown into that role of more depth sort of role player instead of being so heavily relied on like in Vancouver. So we'll see about that. My question for you, though, Tab, has nothing to do with Ryan Kesler or Jonathan Toews. It's Corey Crawford, and I've been critical of Crawford in the past, and he's had his moments where he struggled. He was pulled in the first round a few times, but he looked strong against the Minnesota Wild. As a full-time observer of the Blackhawks, what are your thoughts on Corey Crawford?
You know, he's a guy in Chicago. We many times will reference the backup quarterback being the most popular guy in the city. And I feel like with the Blackhawks' success, it's the backup goaltender that has in some ways replaced the backup quarterback. You know, if you look back to 2013, Corey Crawford should have won the Conn Smythe. Even Patrick Kane admitted it when they handed him the hardware. He was phenomenal. He carried the team through some tough stretches. Last year, same thing. I think he was phenomenal in the playoffs, and if Nick Leddy hadn't redirected a shot, who knows how long that seventh game might have gone. And this year during the regular season, you know, there was the injury with, you know, an off-ice incident that led to that. But there were stretches this season, certainly down the stretch when Patrick Kane was out, that he carried this team and he kept them from being a wild card. And so what you saw against Minnesota was a confident goaltender who was getting a lot of help from some world-class players in front of him. And so I think Crawford has done a pretty good job over the last 3 or 4 years of, you know, he might be allergic to shutouts. He might always give one up, but he hasn't given up the big goal more times than not. I think a lot of it comes down to him not giving up that big goal, but it also comes down to the commitment of the 18 guys in front of him, you know, clearing pucks, blocking shots, taking away passing lanes, and being, you know, takeaway machines. And you're seeing, I think that was the biggest thing in even strength play against Minnesota. The Blackhawks were an absolutely dominant defensive team, and they will need to do that against Anaheim because they're, you know, you alluded to Ryan Kesler. He's not a number one anymore. And so you look at depth down the middle, you've got two teams that are phenomenal at the dot going to work on each other here. So it'll be a lot of fun to watch how they match up in either city. But I also think the Blackhawks as a team can do a lot to help Crawford out defensively.
Tab, thank you for coming on. Oh, no, we only got like less than 2 minutes. I'm sorry, Chris. I'm sorry. We got to go.
It's all good, man.
But we do appreciate you coming on, Tab. Some great insight, and hopefully we can have you on again during Blackhawks Ducks.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, guys.
Tab Bamford. You can follow him on Twitter at @TheOneTab, #1. Chris, about a minute left. Just give more predictions tonight. What do you think about tonight's game?
Alex Galchenyuk finally finds the net, and I don't know, man. You know, I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty nervous. I'm excited for tonight's game. I can't think of not watching the Habs. You know, I don't think the season's over yet. That's where I want to go with them. This season's not over, and it'll be going on for a while.
The hockey fan in me needs a victory tonight. I mean, I don't think there's anything more exciting than a Game 7, let alone a Game 7 after a 3-0 deficit.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Habs tonight, even though I said that the Lightning would take it. The more I think about it, though, it's just purely the sports fan in me. I just need to see a Game 7 because even though I picked the Capitals, I'm still very excited for Washington and New York. That's Chris. I'm Hunter. Follow him at ChrisShannon16. Follow me at Hunter Crowther. This has been episode 45 of the Hockey Guys Podcast. We'll be back Thursday. I'm sure some things will happen right up until then. And, yeah, that's about it. Any last thoughts, Chris?
Go Habs, go.
Go Habs, go. Just kidding.